point, he was in church and he was going to quote the 23rd Psalm. And he got scared. And he got up there and pulled around on his clothes, bushed up his hair, stuck his finger in his ear and up his nose, you know, little kids do. And after a while, he's all red in the face, and he said, "The Lord's my shepherd, and I don't need nothing else," and sat back down. Amen. Jesus is our shepherd, isn't he? We don't need nothing else. I wanted to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. 15 and 20, 1 Corinthians. These your glasses are not really serving their purpose, but I hope I can get by. But now is Christ. But it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man come death, by man come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And I would like to use the seven words that were added to Adam's vocabulary. The seven words that were added to Adam's vocabulary. What seven words were missing from Adam's vocabulary? We are told in Genesis 2 and 19 that Adam called every living creature the name thereof. Adam has had a tremendously vocabulary. Today, there are over 5,500 different mammals, 8,600 birds, 5,500 reptiles and amphibians. Doubtlessly, there exist many more in Adam's day, and he named them all in spite of this. However, there were seven simple words unknown, unexperienced by Adam prior to his fall. These words were, and we would like to preach on the seven words that were added to Adam's vocabulary that he was unexperienced and he did not know about them or anything. He had even heard of them. But I was thinking about verse 1 was added, was death, wasn't it? It says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And God told Adam, he said, "Listen, of the tree of knowledge in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it. Adam, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And you know what? I believe with all of my heart that God had told him just exactly what was going to happen. And this word was added to Adam's vocabulary. Then there was another that was added, and it was called nakedness. Nakedness. And the Bible says, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Genesis 3 and 7. And when I could see, as they knew that they were naked, when they had sinned, you tonight that are unsaved, when you come to the age of accountability, you knew you were naked, you know your sins were open out to the eyes of God, and you know that you need a covering today. And you know what you need? You need the blood today. That's what you need, is the blood today. And so you know what? They sewed fig leaves together. What did Adam head for? He headed for the bushes, you know. That's what a lot of people head for today. They head for the bushes. And they got behind there, and here come God walking in the cool of the evening, cool of the day. And he said, no doubt, "Adam, can you hear me?" I can see Adam say, "Yes." I can see him say, "Good, good. Adam, where are you?" "I'm here behind the bushes. I'm here." "What are you doing behind the bushes? Have you eaten of the tree I told you not to?" And listen, that woman, he passed the buck, didn't he? He said, "That woman that you gave me, and she gave it to me, and I did eat." And so he asked Eve what she done, and she passed the buck. And she said, "The serpent did it." And you know what? And then God got on the serpent, and when God got done with the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. I put him down on the ground to walk. I said that to say this, if you go before the judgment with sin on your garment, you'll not have a leg to stand on. You sure won't. And there was nakedness, and then cursed. Cursed was added. "And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat, cursed is the ground for thy sake." And you know what? God cursed the ground, didn't he? He cursed the ground because that they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And this curse was added. And then I was thinking about another one that was added, was sorrow. And it says, in sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And you know what God done? God cast him out of the garden. And God, He had him till in the ground. I was thinking about when we used to live in Logan, West Virginia, on Buffalo Creek, me and Johnny clearing new ground and everything, and them old briars sticking us, and grapevines and limbs falling down on our heads. If I had Adam then, I could wring his neck, you know. I'm telling you that it was his fault, you know. When you women go to the hospital in an ambulance, screaming and crying to bear a baby, blame Eve for it. It was her fault, you know. God told her, He said, listen, in thy conception thou shalt bear children. And yep, there'll be pain. But one thing about it, there'll not be no overeating in heaven, will there? Because the Bible says that there won't be no pain there. No pain. Every time I overeat, I get a pain in my stomach, you know. But boy, there'll not be no pain there. And then cursed and sorrow. And then another one was added with thorns. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herbs of the field. In Genesis 3 and 18. And that was added to Adam's vocabulary. I could see him, no doubt, as they walked by the Garden of Eden there, and I could see Adam say unto Cain and Abel, boys, right there's the place your mommy eat us out of house and home. Amen. She got him thrown out, didn't she? And you know, the thorns that was added. And then another one that was added was sweat. Sweat. And the Lord God said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. He said, listen, all the days of your life you're going to work by the sweat of your face, because that you did this thing, that you did not keep my commandments. And then another one was added to Adam's vocabulary, and it was sword. So the Lord drove out the man, and He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of life. And listen, I was thinking about all these years, 7 bitter and bloody words was added to Adam's vocabulary. And after the fall of Adam, soon added these your bitter and bloody words to his vocabulary. The echo of these your wicked words would haunt Adam and mankind for over 40 long centuries. And then come the second Adam and successfully met and dealt with each word. Praise God. You know what the Bible says? What we lost in Adam, we gained it in Jesus Christ. And you know what? Somebody said Adam was the happiest man on the earth. And I said, how in the world could he be the happiest man on earth? And they said, because he didn't have a mother-in-law. You know, I don't know about that. But one thing about it, I know he sure got himself in a lot of problems, didn't he? He sure did. Boy, I had a mother-in-law. I'm telling you, I loved that old woman. She was the greatest. Man, we'd go to church, and I'm telling you, we'd have a service, and she'd say, man, we had an awful service you ever saw, didn't we? And I said, yeah. She said, that preacher jumped 3 foot high, did he? I said, yeah. And she said, there was all kinds of pinting and a fessing and a jison and a jai in the church, wasn't it? I said, they sure were. Man, I'm telling you, that old woman, she was from Holy Ghost headquarters. And I tell you what. And then here come the second Adam. Bible says what we lost in Adam, we gained it back through Jesus Christ. And then come the second Adam, and he met with each word and dealt with it. What was the first one, Brother Tim, he met with? He met with death, didn't he? He met with death. And I remember the Lord, He said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Thank God. I remember Martha said, yea, Lord, I know that Lazarus will raise again in the last day at the resurrection. You know what Jesus said to Martha? Honey, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that was dead and believeth in me, even though shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I believe Martha say, yeah, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ which should come into the world. I remember John said, when I saw him on the Isle of Patmos, John said, I shook and become as a dead man. And John said, he walked over and laid his hand on me and said, get up, John. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive, John, forevermore. And thank God, John, I've got the keys of hell and death, John. Thank God I conquered it. But it is great to know that death has been conquered through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And Jesus met with another one and dealt with it. Which one was it? It was nakedness. Nakedness. And thank God. And then come the soldiers. And then come the soldiers when they had crucified Jesus and took the garments and made four parts to every man a part. And also the coat was now the coat was woven without seam from the top throughout. And one thing about Jesus, when he hung on that cross, he didn't have a little rag or thing on him. Jesus was naked. He was naked. The Bible says, wherefore, sin were confessed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which to us so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race is set before us, looking unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the nakedness, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I was thinking about Joseph, a woman wanting to sleep with her, and Joseph would not do it. I'll not do this sin against my master and against God. And Joseph, she jerked his coat off of him. Joseph run outside. He was naked. But you know what Joseph done? He lost his coat, but he kept his character. One thing about Jesus, he lost his coat in a poker game, but he kept his character, didn't he? He kept his character. You know what? Jesus, he met with death. Thank God that we could have life and have it more abundantly, brother. And Jesus, he met with nakedness. Thank God that we could be clothed in his righteousness, didn't he? Praise God. I say hurrah for Jesus. Man, it's great to know him. And another one was added. Which one was it, preacher? It was cursed. Cursed, praise God, was added. And Jesus met with it, and Jesus dealt with it. And the Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:13. You know what Jesus done? Jesus hung on that cross of Calvary. What did he hang there for? He hung there for you and for me. And brother, he was naked. He hung there on the cross of Calvary. Jesus became a curse for us. Thank God that we could be a blessing, didn't he? He became a curse that we could have the blessing. Man, I'm telling you, I'd rather have a blessing from the Lord as to have the greatest stake in this world or have all the money in this world. I would rather have a blessing from Jesus, man. I'm telling you what, it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory, isn't it? Full of glory, praise God. And Jesus, he became a curse for us. Man, he took our place on Calvary. You know what? I could just see one time as the devil was speaking to God. You remember Clovis Vanover? Remember when he was an alcoholic, a liar, a cheat, and a thief, and all that stuff like that? And what do you think about him now? I could see God say, wait a minute, let me see what the blood has to say. And say, God come back and say, the blood said, paid in full. Forgiven, praise God. I'm telling you that it washed my sin away and he took my sin and cast it, brother, into the sea of forgetfulness and put up an old fishing sign, praise God. Man, they're gone. They're gone forever. Hurrah for Jesus. He became a curse that we could be a blessing, didn't he? It is great to know him. And another one that was added to Jesus' vocabulary was what? Was added to Adam's that Jesus met and dealt with. Which one was that? It was sorrow. And the great Isaiah, one of the great major prophets, said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53:3. That was prophesied about 700 years before the crucifixion, wasn't it? I'll tell you what, the Bible is more up to date than next Sunday's Columbus Dispatch, isn't it? It sure is. Praise God. This is the book of all books, isn't it? Man, I tell you what, I love the Bible, don't you? It's my lunch bucket, too, praise God. I like to eat out of it. Man, it is great. And you know what? I believe that Jesus met with that sorrow and He dealt with it. Jesus met with the sorrow that we could have the shout, don't you? Some woman said, I go to your church, but I don't believe in shouting. You don't have nothing on the devil. He don't either. The devil, you need our boy. When people start shouting, the devil starts to hit the door, don't he? He sure does. He can't stand that. Man, I'm telling you, that when the devil comes a knocking on my heart's door, I send Jesus out there to answer the call, don't you? And when he sees the Lamb standing there as though he had been slain from the foundation of the world, boy, Satan takes off then. He flees, brother. He gets out of there. Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Praise God. It's great to know the Lord. It's great Jesus met with that sorrow and dealt with it. And Jesus met with thorns and dealt with it. And then come Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, behold the man, John 19:5. Jesus come out and he was wearing the crown of thorns. He was beaten beyond recognition. You know, they took his clothes off him. They laid his back open. They beat him beyond recognition. We said this morning, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus. And with his stripes we are healed. Praise God. More, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I remember little Dale Wilkerson over to Emmanuel Free Will Baptist Church. He was about 4 years old, and Dale got saved. Dale was an alcoholic. I was laying on my bed about 4:31, about 4 o'clock one morning at Columbus, and I said, Lord, I can't sleep. I want to go soul winning. And you know what? The phone rang. I picked the phone up. I said, who is this? Dale Wilkerson. I said, what do you want, Dale? He said, I want to get saved. Come here. Come to me. I said, where are you at? He said, I'm over at 5,000 Howard Johnson's Motor Lodge on East Main Street. I said, I'll be there. I jumped out of the bed, and my wife said, where are you going? I said, I'm on soul wedding. This time in the morning? I said, yeah. I said, it's dark. I said, I know it, but it's morning, and I'm going. And you know what? I went over there. He met me at the door just a ball in his head off. And he said, Clovis, where you want to pray at? I said, anywhere you want to pray. He fell right down in the floor and gave his life to the Lord. And you know what? He was going to Kentucky to give his testimony. He said, will you come to Emmanuel? They were down in the basement then, you know. And he said, will you come to Emmanuel and hear my testimony? I said, yeah. I went to Emmanuel. That's where Dr. Cassidy pastors at now. And you know what? Old Dale, little Dale, they called him Big Al. He crawled down under them pews, got down there, got up in Dale's arms, and he started hugging him and kissing him and rubbing his face and pushing his hair up. He looked around at us and he said, boy, me sure like that Jesus, him a pretty good old boy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Kids tell it like they see it, don't they? That's what they do. And Dale, as far as I know, he's gone to Sunshine Methodist now and still serving the Lord. Still serving the Lord, praise God. But you know what? Jesus wore that crown of thorns that we could wear the crown of life, didn't he? He sure did. Isn't it great? You know what? I hope my crown is as big as this sanctuary when I get to heaven. Why, preacher? Because I'm going to take it off and throw it at them nail-scarred feet. And thank God, say He's worthy. The Lamb is worthy, praise God. Man, it's going to be a time, isn't it, when we get home. Jesus met with the thorns and dealt with them. And another one Jesus met with and dealt with it. What was it, preacher? It was sweat. He met with that and dealt with it. And then come Jesus and say, and behold, said, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Praise God. And Jesus, what did he do? He met with sweat, didn't he? And he dealt with it, brother. You know why? Jesus sweated, thank God, and so we could have the good blessing, didn't he? He sure did. He sweated on there until his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He told Peter, James, and John, he said, you all watch a 1 hour, and why go yonder and pray? Jesus went a little farther. Jesus fell down on his face and prayed. And he got up and come back, and Peter, James, and John was taking him a Baptist nap, you know. They were asleep, you know. I told my wife one time, I said, honey, I'm going upstairs. I'm going to take me a Baptist nap. She started laughing and called me rascal. And she said, you know what, rascal? I said, what? She said, you're not going up there and lay in that bed all day. And you know what? She knew how us Baptists did. And I went up there, got that big 514 Thompson chain King James Bible, laid it across my chest, went to sleep. And I woke up, there's that little 105-pound Kentucky standing there looking at me, laughing. And she said, going to study, huh? I said, yeah, I'll study how I could get my eyes together. You know, but anyway, might as well say something like that anyway. But Jesus, he told him, he said, couldn't you watch 1 hour? He said, listen, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus went a little farther, didn't he? And he prayed. And he came back, and they were asleep again, taking them another nap. You know, one thing about preachers today, they're sleeping in a dangerous time, like Jonah was, you know. Boy, Hurricane Mary sure to give that there old sea a blowing in that ship, you know. But I was thinking about as all of a sudden he went a little farther and prayed the third time, and the Bible says he prayed until his sweat became as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And you know what? Jesus worked for it. Jesus worked for it so we wouldn't have to work for it. Did you know Jesus bought it so we could accept it? I said that to say this, you cannot work for salvation. You cannot buy it or you cannot beg it. How do you get it? You get it freely. It's a gift. Bible says, let whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Praise God, it's a free gift of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send Jesus in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Praise God. And Jesus is the Savior. Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Bin Laden can smoke that in his pipe too. He sure can. Jesus, thank God, He's the only way, isn't He? Only way to the glory world. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. That's what He said. Thank God, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus was Almighty God in the flesh, don't you? In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And praise God, Jesus sweated, and Jesus bought salvation that we could have it freely. Thank God, we don't have to sweat for it either, do we? But it's already free, and we all we have to do, thank God, is just accept it, brother. And I went to lead Rita Stapleton to the Lord. She goes to Dr. Cassidy's church. Rita Stapleton, Brother Cal, she wouldn't speak to nobody. She withdrew herself after she graduated from high school, and she went back into a little old room back there in her house. Wouldn't hardly talk, wouldn't let her mom and dad and things in that little old room. Wouldn't hardly talk to nobody or nothing. And you know what? People were getting saved. Man, they was 40-some got saved in that revival. Me and Bob Chapin was going down Route 7. I said, let's go see Rita Stapleton, and she's going to get saved. He said, Clovis, you're crazy. He said, she won't even talk to her dad and mom. And said, how in the world are you going? She going to talk to you? I said, I don't know, but she's going to get saved. Take me over there. He said, Clovis, you're crazy, but I'll take you over there. He took me over there, and I was talking to him, and this little Munn boy, he was there. He should have got saved the night before at the altar. Little Munn, Dale Munn, I believe was his name. And Sister Stapleton had got saved. Troy had got saved. And a man had stayed with them. That man had got saved. And I was sitting there on the couch, and I said, Sister Stapleton, she said, why? I said, go tell Rita I want to talk to her. She said, she won't even let us in there. I said, I don't care. Go tell her I want to talk to her. She said, like that, okay. She went and knocked on the door. Rita, what? Brother Vanover's out here. He wants to talk to you. Okay, send him in. She about had a coronary there, you know. And she said, She said, come on in. That little Stapleton, that little Munn boy said, I'm going in with you, preacher. And so we went in there, and Rita had her hair tied back with a little string, and she had on a look like a long washwoman's dress, you know. And she had animals in there running all the little wheels and everything, running everywhere. And I said, Rita, and she said, what? I said, I come over here to tell you how to get saved. I said, do you want to get saved? And she said, yes. She wants to get saved. I said, okay, I want to tell you how to get saved. And you know what? We were talking there, and I was giving her the Roman road, and I pulled a dollar bill out of my pocket. She still got it framed at home. And I pulled a dollar bill out of my pocket. It's a Baptist certificate, you know. And I said, Rita, do you believe I would give you this dollar if you'd ask me for it? She said, Clovis, I know you'd give it to me. I said, okay. I said, here it is. You can have it. Take it. And she took it. I said, that's free. And she said, yes. I said, why I did that, I want to tell you one thing. Jesus is more willing to give you salvation than I was to give you that dollar. And she said, I want to pray. And so we prayed. She accepted the Lord. And she came out of that room and she told him, I just accepted the Lord in there. That little Munn boy said, I want to get saved too. I should have got saved last night. I want to get saved now. And he got saved too. And she went down there and joined the church. And she got to working in the church. Married one of the men out of the church. And they've had children in the church there. And she is faithful to the Lord. And you know what? One thing about it. God works in mysterious ways, don't He? He sure does. The word mysterious, not even in the Bible. But God works in mysterious ways. And you know what? The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Praise God. You know, I think about one thing. They were in the basement, but it wasn't too long until they was upstairs, thank God, in their sanctuary. The Lord give the increase on it. But you know what? I just think about the last one that Jesus met and dealt with. What was it, preacher? It was sword, wasn't it? It was sword. Bible says that one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side and forth came there out blood and water. John 19:34, I can see one of the soldiers just put the spear right in Jesus' side, and I believe the Bible says that there'd be a fountain open unto the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness, brother. Thank God. I believe there was a fountain sealed. I believe when that spear went in, I believe there was a fountain open, don't you? And praise God, it was open to the house of David, not only to the house of David, thank God, but to the Gentile world. And you know what? The God, only thing He accepts now, He accepts the blood, don't He? He accepts the blood. Under the law, He winked at ignorance, brother. He don't wink at ignorance no more. Thank God He commands men everywhere to repent, brother. And thank God, except you repent, Jesus said, you shall all likewise perish. That's what He said. But you know one thing about it? Thank God Jesus met with the sword and He dealt with it, didn't He? I'm telling you, what we lost in Adam, we gained it back through Jesus Christ. I was thinking about one of the greatest evangelists ever to walk this earth, the great Apostle Paul. And it says Paul shouts out the glorious results of Christ's mission, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took them out of the way, thank God, nailing them to His cross, brother. And thank God, I'm telling you that Jesus, He met death and dealt with it that we could have life, brother. And there's a B.R. Lakin, I talked to him before he died. He said a little old boy down in Fort Gay, West Virginia, got a big old bumblebee. And B.R. said he took an old Barlow pocket knife out and cut the sting out of that bumblebee's tail and put it down into his brother's T-shirt. So that thing was a buzzing going on in there, and that boy was screaming and going on, hooping and hollering and going on. Mommy, put that bee in there. Mommy's going to sting me to death. Said he's over there with that Barlow knife in his hand. Said, don't worry about it, brother. It won't hurt you. I took the sting out of it. And thank God, I believe when Jesus come up out of that ground, thank God, I believe He said, oh grave, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? Listen, I believe when my wife was getting ready to go, it was in February the 21st, about 7:21, she was getting ready to go. Thank God, I believe I could see Jesus standing over there and say, come on, Sister Van Hover, get aboard the old ship of Zion. This your death won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. I already jerked the sting out of it. And thank God. And when she went out, brother, there was enough power in that room had to shake the room down. Thank God the angel of the Lord encamp about them that fear Him and deliver such, brother. And thank God He took her out of there. I'm telling you, sinners running out of that room screaming and crying and Christians shouting, brother. I'm telling you, it's a glorious thing. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, from henceforth saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, thank God, and their works do follow them. Thank God, my wife's life is still leading people to the Lord. I say, hurrah for Jesus. And thank God, if you're here and you're not saved, why don't you come and accept the free gift today? You don't have to work for it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to beg it. Just come and say, Lord Jesus, will You save me? Will You come in my heart? And thank God He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up the door, I'll come in to him, sup with him and he with me. I was preaching in Mann, West Virginia, and there was a million there. And he said, I said, Donald, you need to get saved. He said, Clovis, I can't afford to get saved. I said, you can't afford not to get saved. And you know what? He got saved. Gave his life to the Lord. And he said, Clovis, will you baptize me? I said, yeah. I went up to Ackerville Methodist Church and I said, can I use your baptistry? And they said, yeah. Who you want to baptize? I said, I want to baptize Donald Lambert. Did he get saved? He's the worst drunk and the richest guy on this creek. I said, yeah, he got saved. And I want to baptize him. He's drinking that far out drink now, that living water. And you know what? I took him up there and baptized him, and he had a brain tumor. And he died right after that. He was laying at McNeely's funeral home, Kranz McNeely, at Mann. And somebody said, wonder how much Mr. Lambert left. And you know what? A preacher said, he left it all. He left it all. And that's the truth. Buddy, I tell you what, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what would you give in exchange? You'd give 10,000 stinking worlds like this to accept Jesus as your Savior.